Cool Tech, February 17, 2006.
Man, did I get the right coordinates? Is this even the right planet? Looks like blue! Oh well, here we go! Oh no, this is going to be one rough landing! Oh god! Oh, that is a rough landing! I bet you there is good content on that program! Oh well, I better go introduce myself to the inhabitants of this planet. Greetings, Earthlings. My name is Wilboxy Elboxy, and I have come from the planet Blind Quartet. I want to tell you how great my planet is, so I'm going to tap you into the data stream. You can listen in on the communications as they go along. Here, listen and see what you think.
Hey y'all, how you doing? I'm Larry Skookan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. Today I'd like to talk to you about frequently asked questions section of the list, and if we have time, we're going to get into Linux too. Let me grab my jacket here. Come on, little buddy. You guys have a great weekend. Alrighty. In case you're new to Blind Cool Tech, you'll be joining me on the walk home today. We're in Louisville, Kentucky. We've got about a 2 mile walk, and we're using my faithful guide dog, Jake. We're leaving the my office here at APH. And we're going through a hallway through some offices here and out into the plant. And it's kind of quiet here on Friday afternoons because most of the plant workers get off at 3:30. And actually, well, hey, how are you? Good, especially now that it's Friday. Yeah, it's gorgeous. So there's very little activity going on back here right now. We're going out into the display area. You can probably hear the acoustic differences. And we're going to head out this side door into a stairwell. Good boy, little buddy. And out this side door. What a good doggy. Yeah, it's fairly cool out here. I hope the wind won't be nearly as bad as it was yesterday. We have been getting some terrific feedback. A lot of people are enjoying seeing how a guide dog works. So I don't want to encourage Jake to mess up. I really wish I'd have been recording the other morning when he had an accident. I mean, that's really the first one he's had in who knows when, a year or more. But that is, that's the downside. We're taking a good boy. We're taking a left out of the driveway and walking down Frankfort Avenue now. The wind is nowhere near like it was yesterday, so hopefully this recording will come out somewhat better than that one. And like I mentioned yesterday, you know, don't expect to get an hour's worth of information out of the next 30 minutes. This is a casual cast. We provide you some good information, but the real idea is to, you know, put some earbuds on or some earphones and try to experience the environment with us. Good boy, little buddy. He's a good dog. We just crossed over the driveway for Kentucky School for the Blind, which is right next to American Printing House for the Blind. One of the issues that came up on the list, and I have had people ask about the list, so I'll just go ahead and say right here that you can subscribe to it. Good boy. So, okay. So, good boy. By sending a blank email to blindcooltech-request@freelists.org and put the word subscribe in the subject line of your message. This is a pretty high volume list, so you may want to create a separate folder in Outlook Express to be able to segregate all these. It's probably one of the more informative lists that I've been on. But one of the things that comes up inevitably is, you know, new people coming onto the list and asking. That's my Bookport alarm you hear there, by the way. Let me stop it. Asking questions that, well, frequently get asked. So we've tried to set up a frequently asked questions on the section on the website, but I'm finding that I do not have time to keep that thing updated, and I don't have the expertise on most of the areas either. So we've been batting around some ideas about how to improve that list, and there's been some great suggestions. One of them I particularly like is the wiki, and Tim says he can set that up. By the way, Tim, I'm running on a Linux server through GoDaddy. GoDaddy.com. And that's a good way to go for some things. And I think we should do that in addition to whatever else we do. Good boy. All right, little buddy. It's not bad out here today. The sun's shining. It's a little cool. Probably about 40 degrees. Which is not bad for February in Louisville. And we could go right now. There's no traffic, but we'll wait on the signal. Nice and quiet. One way I'd like to handle this FAQ, however, FAQ, FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions, section of the website, would be to, good boy, would be to have some main categories in the FAQ. And I'm just thinking in general, maybe some of the categories would be microphones, and that might have subcategories. High-end microphones, budget microphones, recorders, same way. Or digital recorders, I should say. I kind of doubt there's going to be much of an interest in analog recorders anymore, but so we'll just assume we're talking about digital. But there's such a wide variety of those as well. At all ends of the scales, good boy. There's got a bunch of stuff on the sidewalk there that Jakey was showing me. Oh, I gotta tell you guys, I was walking home the other day. Yeah, there is a little bit of wind. Can you hear that building to my right? I was noticing the other day when I was listening, I was walking around and I pulled back because I could feel it in the recording. A little disconcerting. There's a train on the tracks. One of the things I was walking home the other day, and it was really cold, and it had snowed and stormed a little bit the weekend before. I'm coming home, tooling along at my normal, fairly brisk clip, and wham! I hit a patch of ice and went down and hit my knee, and the first thing I thought was, oh man, I'm too old for this. I can't take much of that. So I got up and I carefully proceeded. Well, we might get a good recording of a train up close. We're not going to get too close, though. Like the guy in the Darwin Awards that got hit by a train, just his head. Well, his friend told the authorities he was trying to see how close he could get his head to the train. Oop, I guess he just went a little too close. Man, that didn't clip nothing well. This is about as close as I want to get, little buddy. Let's see if we can catch some of that rumble. But anyway, after slipping on that little patch of ice, well, let's listen to this train a minute. Like it had an engine running on it, a refrigerated car maybe. I was riding to work the other morning with my girlfriend, and she said, well, they're put up these crazy signs along the road as you're going towards APH from my house, where the track runs along the road on the right side, and she said it was a graph of a road, the road we were on, with a side road, and then some railroad tracks running parallel to the main road, and we couldn't figure out what the heck that was for. Well, it turns out this morning on the way to work, they added another little sign to it. At the bottom it says, train, no horn. So I mentioned to you once before in the cast that they had passed an ordinance here that doesn't allow them to... Good boy. to use the horn in this neighborhood. Anyway, back to the ice story. Good boy. All right, we're gonna let Jake have a break here on the other side of the tracks. So I'm walking along, I get about two or three more blocks, and boom, again, I hit a slick ice. I guess most ice is slick, but this was particularly slick. And I caught myself that time, so I didn't hurt too badly. Well, we keep on walking, and another two or three blocks down the road, Jake slows way down and kind of bows his body over to the right and puts his nose down on the ground. Well, he was showing me another patch of ice there, and I thought that was so funny because, you know, when a dog is guiding you, they don't, you know, they take on this responsibility. Hey there. And they don't want to see you get hurt. So I told that to someone. They say, well, do they train them to do that? No, they don't train them to do that, but that's their natural instinct to, I won't say, well, geez, dude. Get right up to the guy and he pulls out. Their natural instinct is to protect you. They want to make you proud of them. So, I thought that was so funny. Fred had done that for me too on a few occasions with some ice out on the road or sidewalk. Anyway, back to the FAQ. I would really like to, at least my idea is to get some experts in different areas to sort of manage specific sections of the FAQ. And, good boy. Good boy, little buddy. Just straight. That's it. Crossing another street here. Good boy. So, somebody like Neil, for example, might be a guy that would handle the questions about high-end digital recorders or high-end microphones or whatever he wanted to. But I would love to subdivide this up into manageable pieces. And by doing that too, each person that was responsible for a specific piece could, you know, not have to worry about an overwhelming task of covering everything, but instead have a nice modularized approach to this. So one of the issues that came up with doing that, though, the wind is really blowing again, so I apologize for the wind noise. Good boy. One of the problems that people mentioned about this idea, though, was that they may not particularly know HTML. And, you know, I think these... Hey. I think these, this FAQ section could be set up in such a way that, oh, that wind is really blowing. Man, it's cold too. I may need to stop and put my gloves on. The page is set up a very minimal HTML. In fact, I can probably pretty much tell you right here and now what would be involved if you, for instance, were to take a section. So, what it would be is something like a question, and you would have to put tags around the question. And we're going to use heading 2 tags for these subcategories. So you would put less than H2, greater than, what's the best microphone to use for a podcast? And then less than / H2, greater than. So there you've defined that question as a level 2 heading. And as you write your response to that question, you really just need to put a less than P greater than for each paragraph and just write it normally. Now, the links are a little more complicated. We can get into that. Maybe we can have a little HTML training session or whatever for those. But this would allow each person to keep their section of the FAQ up to date, and we'd provide permissions to allow you to either upload that directly, your section directly to the site, or email them to me and I'll put them up on the site. And I'd also be glad to set up a template for each one that, you know, would provide a structure to work in. So that, to me, seems like the most, or one of the more maintainable ways of approaching a fairly mammoth project like this. So be interested in hearing some comments and ideas about that approach. Now, how the Wiki or Wiki would fit into this? Maybe we need to have a talk about that, or maybe one of you all could submit a podcast about how a Wiki would fit in with this or replace that idea. I do need to stop and put my gloves on. Sorry, little buddy. Don't mean to break up your flow here. The sun is out. It's warm when it hits you, but that wind is cutting. Okay, little buddy. The thing about a white wiki, too, is that the editors of it don't have to know HTML. And we can assign it so that, you know, as people enter information, the assigned editor for that section would have ultimate editorial control on it. That way you keep from getting a bunch of false or inaccurate information. Someone the other day asked me about the coffee pot I was talking about, the Italian coffee pot. I believe it or not, it's called a mocha pot, and it has nothing to do with chocolate. It's apparently an Italian word for... Oops, that's not the way we're going, Jake. Let's have a stop here. We're crossing Ewing, not Frankfurt. So we'll just wait a moment. So check out one of those pots. I think I paid around, good boy, $30 for the one I've got. And I really like it so far. It's a little bit of a hassle, but you know, if you're really into coffee, hey, it may be worth it. About this FAQ, you know, I guess we can... Great, how you doing? We can have, you know, I have thought of the idea, or Tim did, of just replacing the FAQ HTML pages with a wiki version of a FAQ, and that may be an option. I'd like to hear some of you that know a lot more about wikis than I do, what's your thoughts, you know, the advantages and disadvantages of such an approach. I mean, I know wikis from the use of them. In fact, Wikipedia is one of my favorite places to get current and update information. It's wikipedia.org, wikipedia.org. Good boy. Crossing Peterson Avenue here. Good doggy. Used to live down that street. Well, let's talk a little bit about Linux. I know Tim Cross is much more heavily into this than I am, but let me just try to provide a general background and some information about what Linux is. I know you've heard a lot about it in the news lately, and I've read where Microsoft considers Linux to be their number one, well, not problem, but competition maybe. Linux is an operating system, just like Windows or DOS. It's quite a bit more sophisticated than DOS. Interestingly enough, though, the console for Linux is text-based, and it's somewhat similar to the DOS command line, although quite a bit more powerful. And about, hello. Hey, how y'all doing?
Good. How
my doggy wants to say hi to yours. How about Jake was looking and wagging his tail. He kept going. The Linux command line is quite a bit more powerful than the DOS one ever was. But Linux is a multitasking, multi-user operating system, much like Windows is. But Linux is developed under the open source model. So all the source code is freely available to anyone that wants to use it for anything. And there is a GUI layer to Linux. The accessibility on that has been a little less than perfect. Well, a lot less than perfect. I know Mark McKay had been working for Sun, working on a project called Gnupernicus, GNU, which is the licensing, which the that particular code is distributed under. It actually stands for, I forget the word for an acronym and an acronym, but it stands for GNOME. What is it, GNOME, not Unix? I think that's it. Anyway, there's also a text-based version of a screen reader for Linux called SpeakUp. And SpeakUp was written primarily by Kirk Reiser up in London, Ontario, Canada. And it was funny when I first heard about Speak Up and first talked to Kirk, because here's another example of a really small world. When I had first lost my eyesight, I was going to a rehab center in Little Rock called Arkansas Enterprises for the Blind at that time. This was back in 79. And one of the guys there that I became pretty good friends with was named Gary Reiser. And Gary is Kirk's little brother. So tell me what a small world. But anyway, I actually don't think I've ever met Kirk in person. Good boy. Good duck. Anyway, Kirk and a few others have written this excellent screen reader. In fact, in many ways, it looks a lot like the old ASAP. Good boy. But, attaboy. Good dog. So it uses the numeric keypad very much like ASAP did. And it's got a few commands that are the same and many that are a little different. In fact, he's got some good features in there I never had in ASAP. But anyway, great screen reader. And it is also open source. So before you say, well, why aren't we all using Linux? It's free and screen reader for it. There's a few arguments that people give about not using Linux. And I'm not going to get into all those right here. I'll mention a few of them. And, I'm not one to say whether these arguments are true or not. It's just something that's been observed that I'm going to pass along. One of the arguments for not using Linux is that we're in a Windows world, and in order to communicate with other Windows users, you should be using Windows. Well, now, I don't know about all that. I mean, look at the Macintosh, for instance. That's not a Windows box. And those people seem to communicate with Windows machines just fine. So I don't know how much water that argument holds. Another one is the idea of being able to read and write Word documents. And you can read and write Word documents with Linux. Maybe a little more trouble than it would if you were running Microsoft Word on your desktop PC. But, you know, as I began looking into this MobileSpeak Pocket screen reader that runs on commercial PDAs under Pocket PC 5, which is a kind of a baby of Windows, there's actually not a great deal of similarity between Pocket PC 5 and Windows XP. I mean, sure, you have the start menu and all programs, but as far as what's really going on under the hood, it's not very similar, at least from a user's perspective. There's some programming that's common to both and makes it a little easier to program. But the version of Word shipping on the PDA or that you use with Pocket PC 5 is a thing called Pocket Word. Alright, we're back out into the street here around our detour. And you can't just copy a Word document over to the PDA and expect to open it up with Pocket Word. Pretty much everything you do on that PDA, you have to send through Microsoft's ActiveSync, and it actually does document translations. So you can do the same thing on Linux. It seems to me like I would really prefer to have a way just to copy files over without having to use a specific program to transfer them, and then let the software on the Linux side do the translating. But that's not the way they approached it in Pocket PC 5. One of the other arguments against using Linux is that some of the mainstream applications are not quite there yet. Now, when you talk about mainstream applications, I think the one that comes first to mind to people is optical character recognition. Now, I honestly don't know enough about it, but my impression is that you don't get quite as good of an OCR engine, or there's not one available that runs under Linux yet. Now, if I'm wrong about that, someone please tell me, because I would love to know. I do know that when you're running Linux, especially a text-based console, you're not devoting all the resources of your PC to supporting a graphical user environment that you're never going to see. I also know for a fact that it takes much less hardware resources to run a good stable version of Linux, or a setup using Linux, than it would with a Windows system. I have had, in fact, a machine down in my work area in the basement there that I put Linux on an old HP 400 megahertz machine with 96 megs of RAM. I bought this back in 1998, so we're talking 8-year-old hardware, and it has been running since, well, about a year and a half now without ever being shut off. And there's no delays in anything I do. Nothing gets bogged down. It's just totally solid. And, you know, some people say, well, open source software is buggy, and I'm sure some of it is. So is commercial software to some degree. You have to pick and choose what packages you're going to run, because some of them may be buggy. But the fact that all the source code is right there available means that there's a much larger community of potential programmers to work on a project based in that environment. Linux is it's actually based on Unix. So this guy that wrote it, Linus, what is his name? Torbal? Or am I thinking of Tarball? No. I think it's Torbal. Anyway, he started this project in college as a free Unix replacement. And, you know, don't let the word Unix scare you. This is, there's no reason why you couldn't set up a menu system for for all the applications that you use, very much like Windows is. In fact, that's exactly what Apple has done with the Macintosh with OS X and later. That is actually running Unix, and they've put a graphical user interface on top of it so that the user can experience the all the advantages that a graphical user interface provides without having to write the whole operating system from the ground up. Because, you know, as many of you already know, an operating system is or at least a modern operating system is a way to interface with the hardware, your machine, without actually having to talk directly to the hardware. The operating system provides services to applications, providing it memory, providing it disk management capabilities, doing all the low-level details of dealing with your hardware, in this case the hard disk. So those are a few of the things that people argue for and against Linux. I'd like to hear your thoughts on those comments about Linux. And we have completed our short journey. Have arrived home. So I will go ahead and end this cast and tell you all good evening. And we will see you again soon, I hope. Hey, Fred.
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Visit us on the web at www.blindcooltech.com.
What good dogs.
If you would like to contact us, our email is blindcooltech@gmail.com. You can also subscribe to the Blind Cool Tech email list at blindcooltech-request@freelist.org. Our phone number is 206-984-9203, where you may leave voicemail feedback about the show.